I'm thankful for church because none of us, we don't come out because we all got it together and we're perfect people. We all come because we're all broken. We need help. And, well, we're here for each other. We're here to hear from God, to get from God. I'm just so thankful for that. Today, my title is called Let God Be God. I sure know God was ministering to me about this, and you can join me at 1 Samuel chapter 19. Even though we're Christians and we know who God is, but just being, we're human at the same time, we're flesh bodies, and it's so easy to get, with all the problems going on, to get sidetracked, get us off course, or, forget that God is who He says He is, So I wanted to minister that this morning. And so 1 Samuel 19, and I'm going to start at verse 18. This is, when, of course, King David is, well, he's not king yet, but he's been anointed to be king, and Saul doesn't like it, so he's going to go after him to kill him. So 1 Samuel 19, starting at 18, says, "So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naoth. And it was told Saul, saying, Behold, David is at Naoth in Ramah. And Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. Then went he also to Ramah, and came to a great well that is in Shechem. And he asked and said, Where are Samuel and David? And one said, Behold, they be at Naoth in Ramah. And he went thither to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah, and he stripped off his clothes also, and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore they say, Is Saul also among the prophets? And a lot of people point that it wasn't like they were just, this prophesying was like they were giving glory, they were worshiping God. And it shows you that David, when Saul was after his life, David knew, go to Samuel, because Samuel was a prophet of God. It's like when there's things going on in your life, you go to God. And because of that, Saul could not get to him. When Saul tried to come, he sent three different messengers. And when they came close to that, they just fell under the power of God. And the same thing happened to Saul. And it shows you the power of God. Again, I know God was really speaking to me, because it's like, daily, we go through things, and it's so easy to get focused on the problems we have or try to figure them on ourselves. But it's like, man, when you can press into God and just let God be God and let Him show up in your lives and, how He handles things, David probably didn't know what was going to happen, but because of that, David was, Saul could not get to David. David was able to escape. So I just think that's a really cool story there. And then if you can go with me to Psalm 46. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. That's an encouraging chapter. It just shows you that, you know, David knew that God was with him, the Lord of the hosts. I mean, it says he makes wars to cease, you know. It's just, it's amazing because it's amazing how daily, you know, it's like we got the God of the universe, Jesus Christ, joining on the inside of us. And yet, you know, sometimes it's so easy to get caught up in the flesh and the problems of the world. It's like we forget who God is, and there are the amazing things he can do. And now go with me to Psalm chapter 97. It's like even with everything that's going on in the world, and we can see the times, but it's yet God is still God. He still reigns and is Lord of all, and it don't matter what it looks like, you know. Okay, Psalm 97:1. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlighten the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all you gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. That's just another encouraging one, you know. I like in verse 9, it says, you know, he's exalted far above all gods, you know. He's just, there's no comparison to all the human gods, you know, all these false gods that are there are. God is way above them all, you know. And then I just have a few other ones that you can just write these down. This is Luke chapter 1, verse 37. It says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And that was the angel that was talking to Mary about how, you know, she was going to be giving birth to Jesus. And, you know, we know that, you know, it says with God nothing is impossible. Sometimes we just got to be reminded that when we're in the midst of it. And then this one is Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Isaiah 41:10, and this is the NLT. It says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Or the King James says, righteous right hand. And so, no matter what you're going through, God is there to hold you up. And then I got last one here is John 16:33. Says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So no matter what we're going through, Jesus has already overcome it. We just got to learn how to live in that victory and just let God be God, you know. So that's why I just wanted to encourage you today that, you know, on this daily walk, just remember, let God be God. Because I just think, you know, sometimes, you know, things come up in our lives and it's like, it's hard sometimes, you know, it's like, I know I need to go to God, but sometimes my mind wants to try to figure out how to do it. And it's like, no, go to God and let God be God in our lives. So that is all I have.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Okay, I am going on this series. I'm going to be closing it soon. This last part of this will be called The Unexpected. And, you know, when you're going through hardships, sometimes the unexpected can be the hardest. You know, when it may be small, it may be big, but when it's unexpected, it really is a true test of your faith. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. How unexpected hardships, they come without warning. They're things that sometimes you're ready for, sometimes you're not ready for. It's how you react to those situations. Amen? So Job, you know, with every single trial that he went through, everything that the enemy did to him, it came suddenly. He lost everything in a day. And then after that, the boils came upon him suddenly. So it was like everything that he went through, man, it was like, why is this happening? You know, it was unexpected and it was affecting him and he was questioning God. You know, God, why? He didn't deny God, but he was questioning God. You know, why am I going through this? This doesn't seem fair, you know. I have been faithful to you. But he knew and he said that God would redeem him and God would vindicate him. He knew it in his heart, so he was faithful in that, right? So I want to give a couple more examples of unexpected things that happened in Bible times. But I want to talk about David, so I want you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Excuse me. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And this is when David's family and his men, all their families were suddenly kidnapped. So 1 Samuel chapter 30, I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. And David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep." So I just want to pause there. You know, this is one of those things that's just sudden. You know, like you can go through and you can have victories and then suddenly everything is taken that you love. Amen. And so this is where it can be hard. Everybody's grieving. What do you do next? Right? And it says, verse 5, "And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." So this is really important. David, in his grief, out of all of his men, he knew that everything that he needed to do, every step that he needed to take, was and had to be from the Lord. He had to know every step. I mean, they wanted to kill him, because they lost their families. They were in intense grief. And it says, "So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and he came to the brook Bezor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Bezor." So they were just so overwhelmed with grief. So, you know, every one of us, when a sudden calamity, anything happens, we all react differently. But David didn't condemn them. He did what needed to be done. "And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David. And they gave him bread and he did eat. And they made him drink water, and they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. And David said unto him, To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belonged to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, Canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, Swear unto me by God, that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And see, God provided a most unexpected person to help David. That's how our God is. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. So it's one of those things that's like, you know, David could have just, okay, this happened. Let's just move on, you know, but he knew that that wasn't the only answer. He was a warrior. He knew that they had to fight, but he didn't want to just go into it with not knowing any direction. He needed a word from the Lord. So he sought the Lord. God gave him a word. He obeyed and he had the victory. And so that needs to be our first reaction. When something unexpected happens, we need to do like David did and go to the Lord. Listen to his voice. Amen. And then I want you to turn to 2 Samuel 21. And do you guys recall when we were talking about the Gibeonites, when Michael and I went to that conference, and how Joshua made a promise to the Gibeonites? He made a vow. And God honored that vow. Well, this is many, many years later. And this is King Saul's, you would say, repercussion. This is what he did wrong, and it made Israel suffer for it. So 2 Samuel 21, I'm going to start at verse 1. Then there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year. So this is one of the things where David had many battles that he had conquered. Things were going great. He was doing one thing after another. And then suddenly there's a famine. And it just keeps going. And you know, sometimes when there's a famine, the first year it's not so bad because people have things stored up. The second year it's a little tough. By the third year, people have nothing. They don't have anything to eat. It's all gone. And so at this point, it says, verse 1, then there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord. So David finally is like, okay, there's something not normal about this. So we need to know, God, what's going on. So he stops what he's doing and declares, we're going to ask the Lord what's going on. And the Lord answered, it is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites. And so remember when Joshua made a pact, a vow with the Gibeonites? Well, Saul broke that vow. And so now he's making Israel suffer for it. And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. And the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you? And wherewith shall I make the atonement, that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord? And the Gibeonites said unto him, We will have no silver nor gold of Saul nor of his house, neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel. And he said, What ye shall say, that will I do for you. And I'm not going to read the rest of the story, but it goes on to verse 14. And basically, there are sons of Saul who have to pay for Saul, what Saul did. And they end up dying because of Saul's wickedness. And you know, sometimes it's like, we don't know what the Gibeonites were like. I mean, we know they deceived Joshua, so we don't know exactly what they were like. Maybe the Israelites didn't get along with them, you know, but they had a vow with them, so they had to keep that vow. And maybe Saul was like, well, I'm just going to get rid of them anyway. Not realizing that when you make a vow before the Lord, you have to honor that. You have to honor whatever God you have said to the Lord. Amen. And so the thing behind this is, whenever something happens and it's unexpected, it can be something that happens to you in your household. It can be something that happens to your whole city, to your nation, to your church, whatever it is. If it is something unexpected, it is important for every one of us to go to the Lord. What is God saying to us? What is God speaking to us? This year is an election year. What is God speaking to us? Amen. How can our nation be a better nation for the Lord? How can we serve Him better? Amen. It's not just like we look at something and we're like, well, you know, it's just going to be that way. You know, these bad things that are happening, it's everybody else's fault. What can we do about it? As God's people, we live in this nation and we're going through these hardships. What can we do about it? Amen. So I want you to turn to Psalm chapter 9. And I'm going to read just a few verses out of there. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to start at verse 7. Psalm 9, verse 7. It says, But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And this is what we need to remember. Amen. In unexpected hardships, we must seek the Lord, especially when we don't understand what's going on. And that's just like what Job did. He went to the Lord. God, I don't know what's going on, but I know that you're my Redeemer. And I was thinking about, you know, have you guys ever watched children play in the playground? And they get hurt sometimes, they fall down. No matter what, depending on the child, some children can get hurt and just go on, you know. They're just strong little kids. But no matter what, they will go to either an adult or a parent, because when they hurt themselves, they want comfort, you know? And that's like, we can learn a lesson from our children. They know where to go for comfort. They know who's their refuge. They know who will heal them, who will help them, who will give them a Band-Aid. But we, when we go through things, and even when it's unexpected, and that's the most important time to go to the Lord, we sometimes just get so focused on the trouble and on the calamity and on the issue and on the hardship that we look at it and we think, why am I even in this? Instead of going to the Lord and seeking Him first. Amen? And that's what we should learn from our children. Go to God. God is our Father, right? Uncontrollable circumstances falling on us unexpectedly, they also do something else to us. They quite often reveal to us where we are spiritually in our walk with the Lord. They reveal how close we are to Jesus. Maybe we're not close to Him at all. Whether we are depending on Him or on the world. I know most of us, the reason why we came to Jesus is because we found out that this world has nothing that can really truly save and satisfy us. It'll give us a little bit, and it'll help us a little bit. But when it comes to the biggest things and the hardest things, God truly is our refuge. And every one of us have learned that. That's why even no matter what goes on in the world, you can't tell me to not serve God. Because I have seen him do too many things in my life to know that he is real. To know that no matter what the world says, no matter what the world does, no matter what lies they put out there, to say, well, it's just not worth it. You know, being a Christian is just not worth it. It's just not relevant. You know, it's just not, this culture is done with all of that religious stuff. You know, and it's like, we're not about religion. This is not about being religious. It's about having a relationship with the true God of the universe. Amen. So when we go through these trials, they force us to ask ourselves, do we really love God? Or are we serving him because we just want the blessings and the protection? Do we believe that he truly loves and cares about us? Do we believe that he still answers our prayers? Don't wait until the unexpected happens in your life. Seek the Lord now so that when you are going through hardships, your first reaction is to hear from the Lord himself, asking him, God, what is going on in my life? God, what is it in my life that I need to change? What are you showing me, Lord? What is the enemy trying to do against me? What is he trying to do against my family? And most of the time, God has already shown you. Sometimes we just need clarity. Amen. The hard part can be what he has told us to do. Sometimes we don't want to do. Like Miss Penny was talking about Lorna earlier. Man, forgiveness can be the hardest step to take for any of us in our lives. When people do us wrong, we feel like they just don't deserve that forgiveness, and so we don't give it to them. We think, well, that's something that they did to me, so they don't deserve it. You know, I should have a right to be angry. I should have a right to hold on to this. But really, it's that they're destroying you from the inside out, and they don't have the right to do that to you. That's what forgiveness is. You have to take them out of your life and forgive them. Amen? Amen. So God himself wants you to seek him. He wants to answer your questions. And in his grace and mercy, sometimes he does repeat himself because he knows how limited our thinking can be, and he is patient. His grace and mercy is incredible. And I just want to read just a little bit out of Job 38. But between Job 38 and chapter 38 and chapter 41 is God describing himself to Job. And so I just want to read a little bit of this out of Job 38. And I'm just going to start verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? And I'm just going to stop right there, but you can go through these, all of these chapters, and this is God himself describing who he is. God saying, I am the one who set the earth on nothing. You know, like we know, and then it goes down further, who created the laws of the universe? God created it. And I'm one of those people that I love science. I love that science proves that God is real. Yes. And the more and the deeper that you get into the study of creation and the study of science, it's like, oh, wow, the more it shows how real God is. And even physicists who, you know, they're not most of them are atheists and evolutionists. And then the more they get to studying into the laws of physics, they realize, oh man, there has to be a creator because everything lines up perfectly. You know, if the earth was tilted one way, or if it was a little closer to the sun or a little way from the sun, we wouldn't be here because we couldn't survive. God set everything in the exact spot that it's supposed to be in. And I got to thinking about how God set us in the exact time of history that we are supposed to be in. You individually are here for a reason. You're not back in the 1800s. You're not back in the beginning of time with Abraham. You're not back way back then during any kind of revolution. You're here in the end of times for a reason. God knew that he would need you here for a reason. That's why you're here. You may think, well, man, those times back then were a lot easier. I wish we were back then. But no, you need to be here. God wants you here because he wants to show his power through you. Amen? So I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 13. And I'm going to actually read this out of the New Living Translation. So you can just write this down if you want to. Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. You can turn if you want to as well. Thank you, Lord. This is the New Living Translation. It says, don't love money. You guys ever heard where people are like, well, money is evil? No, we all need money to survive, right? any kind of thing that you use, whether you're bartering with anything, you know, back in the Bible times, they used cattle and sometimes they used silver and gold. Well, we use paper money and we use digital money, but we need it, right? We need it to survive. God knows that we need it. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. When you put money above God, that's when you're in trouble. When God is above everything else in your life, things will go well for you. Amen? Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. And I want you to think about, God is speaking this to you, okay? Open your heart to him speaking this to you. This is not, just because I'm reading it, it's not coming from me. This is him speaking to you. I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? What can people do to you? Amen. Who can turn away anything that God has blessings for you? Who can do that? Amen. When God is for you, who can be against you? And that's what you have to understand, is God himself loves you. It says in the Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus, those were words out of his mouth because he loves you. God loves you. And the only way that you can truly understand that is if you receive that in your heart. You can hear it with your ears. People can tell you all your life, God loves you. But until you feel that in your heart, until you experience and encounter his love inside of you, it'll never be real to you. Amen? So I want you to open up your heart. Open up your heart to him. Amen? God's word speaks and reveals his amazing power and might. In Genesis 18:14, God speaks to Abraham saying, is anything too hard for the Lord? Again, this is God speaking. God speaking, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. So Abraham waited for years and years to have a son. Abraham and Sarah, they waited for years and years. And God said, is anything too hard for the Lord? Amen. In Numbers 11:23, God speaks to Moses, and the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. And it does. When you go back and read the story, the Israelites were complaining and they were like, why don't we have this and why don't we have that? And Moses was overwhelmed. He's like, God, I am so tired of dealing with these people. Will you just do what they need to do? He's like, I'm just done with them. And God is like, is my hand waxed short? Am I not the God who I'm supposed to be? Why are you even questioning whether you're going to be taken care of or not? Amen. And then I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 50. And the reason why I'm reading these is because when we go through something unexpected, we need to know who our God is. We need to know that He is the God of all gods. Amen. He is the most powerful being in the universe of all universes. Amen. Isaiah 50. I'm going to start at verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have you sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. And God is just speaking to Israel when they were about to go into captivity. They are the ones who did this to themselves. They did not serve the Lord. They did not put Him first. They wanted to serve other gods and other false idols. And that's why they were in this situation. Verse 2, wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinks because there is no water and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness and I make sackcloth their covering. So this is God Himself speaking. He's the one who redeems. God is the one who does that. Amen. And then Psalm 121, you can just write this down, verses 1 and 2. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Amen. So when you're going through any kind of unexpected thing, I want you to pause whatever you're going through, any situation, and if you can, walk outside and look at the heavens and look at the earth and know that your God created that for you. Amen. And if the situation that you are going through is harder than creating heaven and earth, then you're done for. But it's not. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. He loves you and He wants to take care of you. Amen? So look at your situation and then look at the universe and know, okay, God, this thing, it may seem like the end of the world to me. It may seem like I'm not going to get over this predicament and this situation, but God, you created the heavens and the earth. You can create a change in my life and change this situation. So God, I submit this to you. And then just release it. Let Him have it. Let Him take that away. Let Him change it. Amen. Sometimes we try to change things ourselves and it does not go well, does it? Sometimes we try to change people and that does not go well either, does it? Amen. All right, Psalm chapter 37. You can go ahead and turn there. Thank you, Father. Psalm 37, I'm going to start at verse 39. It says, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. Amen. So we seek the Lord. We put our faith in God. We trust in Him. We believe who He is. Amen. And then Michael already read Psalm 46. So I just want you to keep in mind, God is real. He is not just some being in the universe with all the other weird gods that are out there that don't really care about you. Those are just demonic principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. They are only there to destroy your life, but God is here to save your life. That's why he sent Jesus. Amen. 2 Timothy 4:18 says, and it said, this is King James, "And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work." And in the New Living Translation, it says, "attack, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever." Amen. This has to be real to you. You have to know that the Lord is your deliverer. Jesus said that he came to set the captives free. So if you are being held to any kind, you know, whenever you go through something and it's like so shocking, you're like frozen in that moment. Anybody ever been through that? Any kind of thing? That's where God actually came to set us free from anything that is holding us captive. Amen. So we have to take whatever that is and give it to the Lord to get out of that prison. Amen. We have to give it to the Lord, right? Jesus came to bring us deliverance. When unexpected hardships do leave us captivated in shock, he is here to deliver us. The devil wants us to give up. He only wants us to fail. But God desires for us to be strong in him and in the power of his might. This world is full of darkness. We must put on the armor of light and put a barrier between light and darkness in our lives, so that when the attacks of the enemy come from all the darkness of this world, they can be destroyed by God's great light in us. That's what separates us from the world, is that light and that power of God inside of us. And you know, sometimes I think that as Christians, we don't realize how powerful that light is. And we don't realize how awesome God is inside of us. But that's where we have to take our time to really focus on the Lord and focus on who he is, and realize that he's inside of us. Amen. The God who created the heavens and the earth lives in you. Amen. So when that unexpected hardship comes up, that's when you need to tell the enemy, tell him, you know what? No weapon formed against me shall prosper, because my God is for me. Amen. You have to believe that he is for you and not against you. Believe that no matter what happens in this world, he is your El Shaddai. He is God Almighty in your life. Amen? So tell the enemy that when he comes after you, right? All right, you can go ahead and stand and we will close in prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, we do thank you for your word. Father, we thank you, Lord, that whatever hardship we face, God, especially these ones that are unexpected, God, that come at us in just a surprising way, God, we don't know what to do. God, we turn ourselves to you, God. We turn our hearts to you. And Jesus, we just ask that you would be Lord of our lives. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would fill us up, change us from the inside out, make us new, Lord Jesus. We turn ourselves completely over to you, Father. And we just thank you, Lord, for healing Miss Penny, Father God, by Jesus' stripes. And all of these children in here who are sick and hurting, thank you, God, for healing them by Jesus' stripes. God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We cast all of our cares upon you because you care for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you are dismissed.